Good afternoon, everyone. It's Dr. Nigro again, our next episode of Psychology Unplugged. Another fun week of interacting with so many people. I try to get back to everybody that reaches out to me. It's growing and growing and growing, which is a good thing. So if I haven't gotten back to you, I will give you my contact information at the end of this episode. But much appreciation for the feedback and the comments and how many people have gotten into therapy, are getting neuropsych evals either from me or elsewhere. So as I said, this is kind of our modest version of God's work. So Julie ran to the store, so you guys are stuck with me today. And again, is doing this as organically as possible. We're going to talk about cognitive biases. So I did an episode on problematic beliefs, and cognitive biases are a little different. So again, maybe this is the fifth or sixth episode where I made notes. I actually had a little bit of time during the week. So the hardest part of this episode is going to be for me to actually read my own writing. I'll give Julie cards, and she'll look at them and say, yeah, I appreciate it, honey, but can you tell me what you wrote? So my handwriting leaves a lot to be desired. So, you know, unpleasant, unfair things, they happen to us. And we can often make them worse depending on how we think about things. So if you think that something is terrible rather than like inconvenient or unpleasant, then you're going to be more upset. If you think that everyone should like you, then you're going to be frustrated on a pretty regular basis. If you think the future is bleak, then you're going to feel hopeless. So every time that we're upset about something, everything that lurks behind our emotions are our thoughts. And I think thoughts are the fuel and the map, and it's really up to us to decide, do I want to hit the accelerator, do I want to drive off the cliff, or do I want to get these these feelings under control? No one ever died from a feeling. Just like I think there's a philosopher, poet Alan Watts said, no one ever got wet by thinking about water. So these are the cognitive biases identified by Aaron Beck and Albert Ellis, who developed cognitive behavioral therapy. So we'll go through them, see if any of these resonate with you. I mean, all of us are prone to doing these on a regular basis. It's how we navigate through the world. It's the lenses by which we view things. It's the lenses by which we view ourselves, the lenses by which we view other people, the lenses by which we view the world in general, and the conclusions and the therefores that come to that are based on those beliefs. So, you know, the metaphor I use a lot in cognitive behavioral therapy is like you come in with a set of glasses, and the goal is to slowly remove the glasses, redo the prescription, and give you a new set of lenses by which you see yourself, other people in the world in a different way. So let's go through these cognitive biases. The first one is mind reading. This is when you believe that you know what other people are thinking without having any evidence. She thinks I'm boring. My teacher thinks I'm a bad student. My husband isn't attracted to me. So, you know, mind reading is that we're purporting to know what other people are thinking. Similarly, fortune telling, this is when we're making predictions about the future based on little evidence. I'm going to get fired. I'm not going to pass the test. I'll never meet anybody. I'll never have a nice house. You know, we have the people, we all have this kind of metaphorical crystal ball, and, you know, we try to predict the future. But, you know, these cognitive biases really lead to affective symptoms of anxiety and depression. The next one is awfulizing. This is when you believe that events are going to be so awful or catastrophic that they are unbearable. It will be awful if she rejected me. I will never be able to overcome this breakup. I will never be able to find another job. I mean, it's really the word awful is a pretty significant term. It's not bad. Awful is really kind of like, you know, this is as bad as it gets. Labeling. This is when we view ourselves or other people as having global negative traits. I am a failure. I am ugly. I am incompetent. I am stupid. I am worthless. You know, this is very, very black and white thinking. But you think, if you think that I'm unlovable, I'm unattractive, I'm not smart enough, it's pretty commonsensical that that's going to lead to feelings of depression and anxiety. Discounting positives, ignoring positive experiences or qualities in ourselves or others, or in life, and see them as being unimportant. That was just an easy task. So I don't really think I did a good job. You know, I don't really take credit for this stuff. Even though you put a lot of work in, and so you studied and aced your chemistry exam, but you take no credit for it. Oh, the test was easy. The professor was, overly kind to me. So you did really overly hard on ourselves when we're discounting the many negative traits. And again, it's this negative filter by which these biases manifest themselves. A negative filter. This is when we're looking at almost exclusively on negative, on just negatives, and seldom notice any of the positives. Like, look at all the people that don't like me. The world's a horrible place. The economy is bad. It's viewing everything in a negative. And you probably know people in your life that, you know, the food's never good enough. The waiters always suck. Traffic is always backed up. Usually it is in large metropolitan cities like Boston. But really, a negative filter is just viewing everything from this negative, dark lens. Another one is overgeneralizing. This is just like a global pattern of like negatives based on a single incident. This always happens to me. No one likes me, you know, in a common response. So you've met everybody in the world. Well, no. So what do you mean no one likes you? Well, nobody at work likes me. So you've met everybody at work. No. And you break it down. And I mentioned this process called vertical descent. You break it down from this overgeneralization to you figure out it's this, these two or three people don't like the person, but they've overgeneralized it to the entire population. Black and white thinking. This is all or none. This is either good, bad, right, wrong. There is no room for gray here. I get rejected by everyone. It's a waste of time. Things are all black and white. You know, and it's a very linear way of looking at the world. But there's no room for gray in this bias, and it's solely fixated on, these either ors, and without any consideration for other possibilities. Shoulds. This is one I think we all do. My professor wrote a great book. One of his first books was Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda. And I think this is something that we are all prone to. So shoulds are thinking of things in terms of how they should be, rather than focusing on other possibilities. Like, I should be a better husband. I should be a better student. I should have a better job. And I think when you really think about it, you put these shoulds, it almost sets a goal that is almost unattainable. Because, like, if you think you should be doing something, I should exercise. I should do this. I should do that. It really, really cripples people from a cognitive behavior perspective, because the shoulds. And first of all, you want to ask, break down, like, who said you should do this? You know, is this a self-imposed should, or is this maybe coming from a parent? Like, you should go to college, you should get a better job, you should finally, move out of the house, stuff like that. So I think the shoulds can both be imposed internally, and then also externally by other individuals or situations or factors in our lives. Another one of these cognitive biases is personalizing. I don't know. What I think it's personalizing. Again, my handwriting leaves a lot to be desired. This is viewing things as personally directed towards ourselves, or we attribute like a disproportionate amount of the blame for negative events to us. My marriage failed because I was a bad husband. I dropped out of school because I'm no good. So if you're personalizing all these negative things in our lives, that is definitely going to lead to an exacerbation of anxiety and depression. And again, all these have a negative connotation, these cognitive biases. I think if you just take the negative filter, you could probably put this as the heading of this program. It's really looking at everything and all these experiences in our lives from this very negative, dark place. And if you're going to personalize everything, you're not even giving any consideration to exogenous factors or extraneous variables that may be contributory factors to whatever else you may be experiencing. Maybe your marriage failed. You know, marriages generally don't fail because of one person. Relationships generally fail because of two people. Yes, one may have done something that was egregious and caused a problem, but relationships, it takes two to make it work, and I think it takes two to make it fail. But if you're personalizing everything, you're really not even giving any room or consideration for the possibility that other people may have been a contributory factor. And it can weigh incredibly heavy on an individual who constantly personalizes. Versus the next one, which is blaming. This is just focusing on another person as the source of your negative feelings and refusing to take any responsibility for ourselves. So blaming is a cognitive bias, but I think it's also a defense mechanism. Blaming is like just it's your fault. Or he was mean. The police officer shouldn't give me a ticket. I was only going 5 miles over the speed limit. Blaming everybody for your problems really exempts the individual from taking any. It's really the polar opposite of the one I did before, personalizing. If you're blaming, you really have little insight and are really not in a good place to be motivated for change if you can't step back and say, hey, do I have any ownership in whatever circumstance or situation that I might find myself in? Another one is unfair comparisons. This is interpreting events in terms of standards that are really unrealistic by focusing on others who do better than us and judging ourselves as being inferior. He's more successful than me. They have a bigger house than I do. Their marriage is happier. There's a lot of assuming that goes on with all these cognitive biases. We all know what assume means. I don't need to spell it out. I don't swear in the program. Julie does. But I try to keep it clean and wholesome. So unfair comparisons, I mean, think about it. If you're constantly thinking that everybody else has it better than you, that is going to lead to depression and anxiety. It's going to lead to feelings of angst. It could even lead to feelings of anger, resentment, jealousy. If you're constantly, again, not giving yourself any credit, and again, several of these cognitive biases can be coexisting and co-occurring at the same time. Rarely is ever just one, but the goal in working with a patient from a cognitive behavioral perspective is identifying, and it's pretty easy to pick up pretty quickly which ones that they're doing. All right. So unfair comparison, I think, is a really, really significant one. Because you feel like nothing's ever going to work out. Life is never going to be any better. And you're relegated to this emotional state of despair, desperation, anxiety, panic. Next one is regret orientation. Focusing on the idea that we could have done better than we're doing now. I could have done a better job if I tried harder. I shouldn't have said that. It's constantly living in a state of regret. We all have them. No one is exempt from this. We've all made bad decisions. But I also think from the perspective of there is no such thing as a bad decision. If you're presented with two options, you're going to make a decision at that point in time that you perceive is the best decision. So it's only what we would call, from a statistical terminology, a post hoc analysis, that we place the qualitative descriptor to say that was a bad decision. How can it be a bad decision? Maybe it wasn't the best decision, but at that time when you were confronted with several options, we generally pick the option that we perceive as the most favorable or the most optimal, independent of whether it's appropriate, inappropriate. Just take that out of it. Just step back from the perspective of looking. If I make a decision, I'm choosing between several different options, and I'm going to choose the one that I perceive as the best. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, then we go into this regret orientation, like, I shouldn't have done that. And the whole key, you know, with regret is to learn from our mistakes. Some of us are better than others. You know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Another cognitive bias. What if? This is a huge one. What if? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if I go to therapy now and I'm getting better? What if I get on an antidepressant and I'm still depressed? What if? What if? What if? So again, this is a very paralyzing cognitive bias, because it really keeps the person stuck. And I think there's a lot of fear associated with this what if thinking. Because, you know, like, what if I get anxious? So what if you do? Then you help a patient figure, okay, what's the worst case scenario? You know, what if you do get anxious? What if you do get depressed? You know, feelings can seem to be incredibly overwhelming, but you always want to reorient the person and focus on the cognition and the thought. Another one is emotional reasoning. This is letting your feeling guide your reality. Okay, I feel depressed, therefore my marriage isn't working out. This is like strictly, you know, riding solely on emotion and explaining everything from an emotional point of view and emotional focus. Another one is inability to disconfirm. This is rejecting any evidence or arguments that might contradict your negative thoughts. Example, like, you have the thought, I'm unlovable, and then you reject any evidence that people like you. So, you know, it's really in this, I wouldn't say poor me, but in this mindset of inability to disconfirm anything positive about yourself. And again, that was something that could certainly and definitely lead to depression. And then judgment focus is the last one. And this is viewing ourselves, other people, and events in terms of various black and white evaluations, good, bad, superior, inferior, rather than, I think, like just simply describing, accepting, or understanding. And Julie just walked in, so throws me off my thought process. So these are the cognitive biases that we all engage in on a daily basis, and they happen very automatically. You know my perspective. There is no such thing as the unconscious. Everything is conscious. Some things are just more automatic, and it's in the therapeutic process that you can really work with your therapist on identifying which one of these you are doing. And, you know, again, rarely is it ever one. It's generally several interacting with each other, but they all have a very negative focus. They all keep people in a state of feeling stuck. And if you feel stuck, you're going to remain anxious. You're going to remain depressed. And if you think of the woulda, coulda, shoulda thinking, that I think is just, it's an unhealthy mindset. You know, but we all do these things, myself included. You know, but if you're unable to accept any kind of praise or any kind of compliments, you're really doing a disservice to yourself. And sometimes, you know, people can be products of environments that have really resulted in ingraining in them a very fragmented sense of self. And I'm not talking necessarily borderline personality, but just an emotional state that you know, X causes Y. You know, you don't wake up one day and just are depressed. You don't just wake up one day and are anxious. You don't just wake up one day and are schizophrenic. The antecedents, and those are the important things to really identify. So like some of these biases can happen, you know, from a situational perspective. They tend to sometimes be more pervasive and global. across all situations of someone's life, their intimate life, their platonic life, their work life. And you know, the theme, I think, through all of them is they're all really negative. And negative thoughts are going to lead to negative emotions. And the goal is to really restructure these cognitive biases. And, you know, so I would encourage you, like, you know, take a look at you know, if you do any of these, and if you do any of them, to what degree and what magnitude are they impacting your life? Are they impeding your marriage? Are they impacting your work relationships? Are they impacting just your dating relationships, your friendships? But these are really, really common in depression and anxiety. So I just wanted to do this episode to kind of shed more light on some of the different techniques of cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, kind of just cognitions in general. It's a crucial part of the psychotherapeutic process, because these are the things that perpetuate the mood symptoms. So until next time, feel free to reach out to me, psychologyunplugged@outlook.com. Through Psychology Today. You can contact me directly, 617-750-9411, East Coast Standard Time. As I said, if I haven't gotten back to you, I try to get back to as many people as possible. Texting me is always the best way to get a hold of me. Thank you again so much for allowing us to come into your homes and your lives and share our collective knowledge. I always view myself as a perpetual student. I use my textbooks and my notes and constantly learn and stay on top of the literature. And I know Julie does as well, because it's an evolving field. It's not always definitive, except unless you get a neuropsych eval, then you're going to get the answers that you are looking for. So until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, be well, and I will talk to you next week. Bye, guys.